again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, from a glorious end of summer, early fall day in Vancouver, and talking across the big ocean again, however, with a colleague who happens to be sitting in Spain. His name is Alexandre Figueiredo, and he's actually a teacher in Brazil at the Universidad Federal da Paraíba. And I've asked if I could speak with Alexandra because he and his colleagues have a paper coming out in the November issue of Medical Education called Medical School Expansion Policies, Educational Access, and Physician Distribution. Alexandra, I appreciate that English is not your first or even your second language, and that you're also working to get used to living in a new country at the moment, at least temporarily. So thank you for making the time, though, despite all those challenges.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity to talk to you. It's a pleasure. And I try hard to have a good interview for us.
Sure, everything will be great. It's a good paper that's worth discussing. And as always, the listeners who are interested will have to get most of the details from the article anyway. But the reason I want to talk with you is this paper seems to be a really nice step forward in terms of trying to think through how medical school expansion can help to resolve some health inequalities across different regions of the world. You mentioned early on in your paper the problem of maldistribution of health workers and inequities. Can you tell our listeners a bit more about what that looks like in Brazil and what the problems were that you were trying to address?
So, as a teacher at the medical school, I think our main goal is to train doctors who can work to improve people's health and quality of life. However, in many parts of the world, the population doesn't have access to adequate medical care because there is a scarcity of these professionals. I live in Brazil, in one region, with lack of professionals, and it's hard to see people that need access to health and doesn't have because there isn't doctors. The situation is complex because it is influenced not only by aspect related to the organization of curriculum, but also by the organization of the labor market, the structure of the service network, and the qualifications opportunities. So it's necessary to think in a complex way to solve this kind of problems. This situation requires the development of integrated actions, especially between health and education sectors.
Yeah, and I appreciate your use of the word complex because it likely goes without saying that as soon as we start talking about the influence of something like expanding a medical school, there are a lot of factors that would have an influence even within that one intervention, and to get data to try to look at what changes are associated with such expansions would be complex because to look across the situation even in one country, you're going to have different things happening at each location. So what was the situation in Brazil over the time period of this study that led you to think you could get some data that would actually speak meaningfully to the influence of expansion policies?
Well, Brazil is a country with great social inequities. It's a big country with lots of differences and inequities. There's a lack of doctors. At 2007, we have about 1.5 doctors per 1,000 inhabitants. In some regions, the situation is worse. There is great regions of Brazil without any doctor. In Brazil, we have to think about there is lots of small medical schools, but not necessarily a great number of places in these schools. Class size are small in some medical schools. Since the end of the 90s, there is an increase in medical schools, but in the last years, there was one kind of policies specifically for reduce inequities, because only increase the number of medical education doesn't solve the problem of maldistribution of the schools. And we have to develop policies to regulate where one school will open.
So your research question was really one of, does the creation of a school in a municipality lead to doctors being more likely to practice there? And does it increase the health services available? I understand from your paper that you had 54 municipalities that created a new medical school. Yes. Within that window of study. What determines in Brazil when a new school can be created? Is it the municipality, or is there a federal group that decides where medical schools should be?
Well, until 2013, the federal government decide where one medical school or university will open. It's a regulation. And the private schools can open until 2030. The private doesn't have one regulation to choose where a medical school will be open. Since 2013, there is a law called Mais Médico Law, more doctors, that decide the municipality based on the scarcity of doctors and the network structure. And it's been a new regulation that didn't exist before. Hmm. I don't know if I have been clearly.
Yeah, no, that's great. So comparing those municipalities that have a new medical school to those who didn't, were you able to see a difference in the likelihood of those municipalities attracting physicians to practice?
Yes, and I think that one municipality have one medical school, there is one economical change that make this municipality more interesting for a development of a new services, and it make one difference in this municipality, and these municipalities have one influence not only for the population that live there, but in the entire region. And I think that the most important thing in the article is that when you open one school of medicine, we change the municipality and you change the possibility to attract and retain doctors. Not necessarily the doctors that was formed at that medical school, but there is an environment for the health sector, and it could be interesting for reduce the inequities in access to medical education and reduce the inequities in access to health services.
Yeah, and most of our readers obviously won't be in a position to create a medical school. So the practical implication for most people listening to this won't be that they should go off and do that. But many of our readers are certainly working in areas where they may be distant from the big urban center and where the dominant portion of the students happen to be. Given what you've just said about how the community changed upon getting a medical school, have you any thoughts about how people working in situations like that can continue to develop their community in a way that might make it more attractive to physicians in terms of where they choose to practice?
Well, the economic factors, I think, has one important paper in this situation. And I believe that this change for a small municipality can reduce opportunities to study, to have development in career.
So opportunities for development, are there particular types of opportunities that you think are valuable?
Yes, and the policy that was developed in Brazil was associated with an increase in medical residents in family medicine in these municipalities. And it could be one more opportunity to improve your knowledge, and I think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely interesting. And again, we're thinking about not just how the creation of a medical school might impact upon inequities, but what are the characteristics of those creations that could be replicated in different forms for places where there won't be a new medical school created anytime soon. So I will likely use that note as a way to wrap up, because I think it stimulates some interesting thoughts in terms of where findings like this might lead. And again, we can't get into all the details, but I will reference our listeners to the paper by reminding them it's called Medical School Expansion Policies in Brazil, Educational Access and Physician Distribution. It can be found in the November 2019 issue of Medical Education. And the first author who you've been listening to is Alexandra Figueiredo. Thank you, Alexandra, for taking the time.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. I apologize for my English.
No.
It's really hard, and because I'm not practicing English since 15 years. And in other country, when I'm thinking all day long in Spanish.
Yeah. No need to apologize at all. You've done wonderfully, and I'm sure the conversation in your voice will help people hear the paper differently. So I'm quite impressed that you've been able to do this. Mm-hmm.